go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Don't Call It a Comeback, but we're changing the name to Car Stuff, right, Scott?
The first official Car Stuff podcast.
Woo! That's Yoo-hoo. Us. Okay, and don't worry, we haven't changed too much. My name is still Ben Bolin, and this week I am in charge of metric conversions, which we're not doing on this podcast, just around the office.
Very good, very good. And my name is Scott Benjamin. I'm the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. And today, we've got an interesting topic. I think a lot of people have some curiosity about this.
Yeah, and not just people in the wide world of the internet, but we have a couple of enthusiasts here in the office.
True.
And they would probably – actually, one of our guys, I think, asked me about this a couple months back.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Well, yeah. Hopefully we can get an answer for him today.
And what question are we trying to answer?
Turbo versus supercharger. Which is better? Which you know, what are the benefits of each one? What's the difference between each one, really, is the main concern. Because, you know, what does each one do, and how do they differ?
Mm-hmm.
That's really it.
And, you know, this – we should let you guys know, getting into it, that you're not going to get a definitive answer from either Scott or myself.
Man, that's fair to say, because I mean, you can't say what's going to work best in every situation. So everybody's going to have their own favorite, and as you hear, you know, as we get down to the advantages, disadvantages, those, you know, play better for some person versus another one. Depends on what type of vehicle you're using, what you're using it for, you know, the intended purpose. So find out which one is best for you.
Oh, and before we get into the shocks and jolts and the nuts and bolts, Scott, I have to tell you, our buddy Tyler in the production department,
yes,
you're aware, came up with a pretty good nickname for you.
For
me? Scott the Tiger Benjamin.
The Tiger.
Actually, he didn't do it on purpose. He used the word tiger earlier today, but that'd be cool. How do you feel about that,
Pretty nice. Scott the Tiger or Scott Tiger?
You know, either or. I feel like the proper noun adds
tiger,
a little something.
Somewhat fitting. I'm from Detroit. I mean, from the Detroit area.
Yeah, Tiger has that whole Mary Jane Spider-Man thing going
true,
on, too.
True, true. Boy, now I'm at a loss. I don't have anything for you.
You better not stick me with a lame animal.
Maybe by the end of this, we'll have something for you.
So let's get down to it.
Okay. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with, well, basically, I guess we can describe them as this. Both turbo and superchargers are both really, when you boil it right down to, you know, bare minimum, they're both air compressors.
Forced induction systems, they compress the air flowing into the engine.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know the advantage of more air, or do you want me to...
We should break it down.
Okay. All right, good. All right, so the advantage of more air, you induce more air into the engine, you introduce more air into the engine, you can also introduce more fuel into the engine. So you get, you know, a more powerful explosion every time that the combustion happens. So, you might have to play with this a little bit on, you know, with your computer or with, if you're still running the carbureted systems, or you'd be able to adjust more fuel into the mix too. So, obviously more fuel, more fire.
More bang for your buck.
Exactly. More fuel, more air. You need more air to do that as well. You can't just up the fuel and expect the same thing to happen. So, this idea of compressing the air that goes into the cylinder, that's really basically all turbo is and all a supercharger is. They just go about it in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Leading to some different advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's some advantages and disadvantages of each one. I guess we'll just quickly talk about what the difference is between the two, really, so that just a general understanding of this, really. And I'll do it super fast, but a supercharger is really just a belt-driven system. It runs just like any other engine accessory would run via the engine via belt, I guess. You know, the belt exactly matches the engine speed, so you know this thing is constantly running. There's no variation in that at all, other than, you know, it matches the engine speed exactly, and it continuously causes air. I just caught my pen.
That was pretty cool, actually.
Video
podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That was quite a feat. It just continually brings air in this compressed format, I guess, and allows it to achieve greater power through the entire power band from beginning to end. Now, turbo is exhaust gas driven. And so that means that the faster the engine runs, it runs, well, it runs through, it runs off the wasted energy that would be otherwise the exhaust gas. That spins a turbine, which then compresses air, which feeds it into the induction, or the, yeah, the intake system. Mm-hmm. So really, I mean, it also works in the same way, you know, through the power bands, but there's going to be some lag because you're waiting for the exhaust system to kick out the exhaust in order to power the turbines to feed the induction system. So there's mm-hmm. there's a time gap, and that's what you hear about. That's where you hear about turbo lag, and that's all it is really. It's just the difference, the time between when you stop on the gas and when you really feel that turbo kick in. Supercharger is more instantaneous. It's like I said, it's continually running at optimum speed, and it matches the engine speed exactly.
Right, so a supercharger is a one-to-one match with the engine.
Yeah.
And then a turbocharger, on the other hand, comes in at the fourth stage of the cycle.
Yeah, just so I'm not muddying this up, I guess, which I think I am.
No, you got it.
The turbo is more of a reactive system, I guess. It's reacting to the exhaust, mm-hmm. you know, the exiting gas. And then that causes the air to be compressed on the other side. So there's just that short little bit of lag, but it's enough to bother people enough that they may say, I don't prefer this, I prefer a supercharger.
Well, Scott, in their defense, my friend, there are some people who can't afford a turbo lag.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm glad that my life is laid back enough to where it doesn't make too much of a difference for me.
Yeah, you're not racing, or you don't have a hot rod or something like that. Because another thing is that, you know, superchargers are the cool looking things that stick out of the tops of mm-hmm. Of hot rods. They've got a belt that's driven, you know, that's driving them. It's usually a wide belt, probably like a 3-inch belt or something. It has the big butterfly valves that you see opening sometimes. That's called they call them blowers. Sometimes they're also known as blowers. Really, it's just a supercharger. But yeah, they make a distinctive sound, and they're really cool looking. And mm-hmm. but they are functional. Wow, they serve a purpose.
Do.
Yeah,
a lot of people wonder that. I wondered that before. I looked up here, but I know they weren't just ornamentation. But I'll be honest with you, man. At first, I thought maybe they were just there for the look, especially in some of the more showy, more ostentatious racing vehicles?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, they're not definitely not very aerodynamic in design, you know, unless you cover them with some type of body apparatus, you know, a scoop or something like that. But you do have to have air flow headed, you know, into these things. If you're talking about the type that you're talking about, the big blowers with the intake valves,
sure.
You need to have airflow to them, of course. And it's kind of cool looking. You want to see it anyways.
A lot of
other superchargers, you know, they don't really necessarily need this big air intake on the top, and you know, they're under the hood. You wouldn't even know that the car had it really. Mm-hmm. Typically they fit under the hood, either off to the side or right on the center of the top. And that's two different types. There's another type that's called a centrifugal supercharger, and that can be mounted right on the very front of the engine, and that one looks more like a turbo, only it's truly a supercharger.
Okay, so it's still got that one-to-one match.
Exactly, yeah, it's running all the time.
So I think I can maybe read the mind of some of our listeners here, and they're out there and they're thinking, okay, fine, that's the difference, I get it, turbocharger at the end of the cycle, supercharger the whole time. Which one do I want?
Well, they both that's the tricky part here.
Right.
Now, the supercharger, let's see, the supercharger creates the most boost, I guess, or actually an equal amount of boost all the way through the power band. Now, to say equal, you know what I mean. It's matching the engine speed, so it's lower, lower, lower. It gets higher and higher as the engine gets, you know, faster and faster. However, a turbo has to wait for, you know, has that lag, mm-hmm. but eventually does catch up to it. So it's running at the same speed. So you just have to wait for it with the turbo, but with the supercharger, it's instantaneous. So you get, if you're going for low RPM boost, you probably want a supercharger. Okay. If you're going for slightly lag, there's a slight bit of lag, but you still want the same amount of boost, you can go with a turbocharger. But that's if you don't mind the lag at the beginning.
Well, now, also, a good question to ask here is one about efficiency, right?
Efficiency, sure. We can talk about that.
Okay, so from what I understand, logically, actually, with some help from a little website you may have heard of, HowStuffWorks.com, I got hipped to the notion that some people would say a turbocharger is actually more efficient.
Correct, and that's because it's using wasted energy. You know, it would just be the exhaust gas flow that leaves the vehicle, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But this is reclaiming that energy in order to drive the motor a little faster, a lot of, you know, compress more air. It's turning a turbine wheel that then, you know, runs the air compressor that adds the air to the cylinder. So yeah, it's just using the wasted energy that would be exhaust gas in order to create something that's beneficial for the engine.
Where does the energy for the supercharger come from?
The supercharger, it's belt driven, so it's all from the engine itself. Right?
So whatever the engine's power source is, whether it's like an electric battery or most likely gasoline.
Exactly. Now there are three types of superchargers.
Okay.
There's the roots type. There's the twin screws type.
twin screw type. Okay.
And then there's centrifugal.
Okay.
I don't know why that was hard for me to say, but it was.
So
roots, twin screw, and centrifugal. And they all have their own, you know, benefits and downsides as well. Now, the first type, actually, we should just say that the roots type is the oldest.
Is it the most common as well?
It is probably the most common. I can't say at this point if it's the most common or not, but I know that, you know, a while back it was the most common.
Okay.
It's the simplest type. It was, now get this, this idea goes way back. So it was patented in 1860.
Huh.
Yeah, so it goes far, far back.
Really?
But the idea was that it would ventilate mine shafts. It was an idea to compress air, you know, draw air into a mine shaft that otherwise needed air.
I see.
Simple as, I guess a fan would also work. But
yeah.
This is a way to get more air into the mine shaft. And then as early as 1900, Daimler added a root supercharger to a car engine. So that's the first automobile application. So, you know, like I said, this is going way, way back. And that was a roots type as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the type that we call blowers. You know, the typical hot rod type favorite. But they're also the least efficient because they don't... they don't have a continuous flow. These operate in bursts. They operate in very distinctive, discrete bursts. When you hit the fuel, mm-hmm. it operates. It's not a continuous continuous operation, I should say.
Okay.
Now the twin screw type is a little bit more efficient, but not the most efficient. And that one is this is probably the most expensive one. This one is the most costly to produce because it requires such a tight machining process. It requires just the most, I guess, precision in the build.
Okay.
Yeah, in the build, and because the twin screws they're fitted together in a way that as the air is drawn in, as it moves down these screws, it's slowly compressed or quickly compressed, I should say.
Weird.
And that's where it's drawn into the engine. And then the last type is the centrifugal. Supercharger, which is the most efficient design.
That's the one at the front, right?
Exactly. It's the one at the front, not the one that attaches to the top like we, you know, typically think of, really. Yeah,
okay.
we usually think of the top-mounted ones.
Sure.
But, so that's the three types of superchargers. Now, they do add horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any lag. They're easier to install, typically, because they're a bolt-on system. You know, supercharger, yeah. So but they are expensive.
Oh.
And that's the downside. They're easier to install, they're easier to maintain, easier to service, you know, a simple operation, but, again, more expensive. Now, the turbos, when you talk about, one other thing.
What's that?
We're talking about turbos, they do have another disadvantage that I should mention. The disadvantage is that another advantage that they
have. Oh, okay.
Another advantage. They don't have any shutdown procedure like a turbo does because most people don't do this, but turbo requires you to allow the engine or the turbo, rather, to cool down after operation. Like if you're out using, you know, doing a lot of fast driving, a little spirited driving,
sure.
It's a good idea to allow this thing to idle down, cool down before you just shut off the key.
Hmm.
The reason is because they're oil cooled, or they're air cooled, oil cooled, and you need to allow the oil to fully circulate and cool the entire system before just shutting it down cold.
Makes sense.
For longevity.
Yeah.
You know, it works a little better.
Probably no one does that, though.
Exactly. No, not many people do.
Stop their cars.
People who are extremely serious about it do it, but I had a turbo car one time and I was routinely guilty of just shutting it off.
Which one?
It was an Audi. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Those are nice cars.
Yeah, it was. And I just didn't really think about it. And it wasn't that I was always out, you know, flogging it either. I was just driving it normally, and I think it was fine.
Sure.
I never had any trouble with it.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
In the middle of the car chase.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
So But they do have – now let's get to the disadvantages and then we'll move on.
Disadvantages.
Disadvantages. The disadvantages of superchargers is they can consume a lot of horsepower from the engine because it's another – think about it like a giant accessory that you're running. You know, when you turn on the AC, you've got something else running off the engine, it's going to draw power. Mm-hmm. This can take as much as about 20% of your horsepower away from your engine. Because
wow.
It takes a lot of energy to run this thing.
And now, it's running the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so why would anybody ever consider putting one of these on? Well, because you can gain 46% of what the car is capable of because of the increased combustion.
So you're netting 26%.
Exactly. Yes.
In theory.
Yes, in theory. Yeah, and that's and of course, you got to talk about like reduction of that a little bit because of mechanical efficiencies, things like that,
sure.
You know, where that goes away. But you do see a lot of benefit from a supercharger, don't get me wrong, but it does rob a lot of power. So does the turbo. They both do the same thing. But, Billy, I mean, the benefits outweigh the downside as far as I'm concerned on a supercharger.
Theoretically? I'm just saying, right?
Yeah.
Because, one thing that is true, and a very good point that you're making, is that when we say it sucks up an average of 20%, but gives out 40%, or it increases output by 46%,
yeah.
Then we have to permit or we have to assume some give there, some margin there for road conditions, driver style, which mm-hmm. is huge. Like the way you ride the gas pedal it does make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and there's a lot more to it than just that. I mean, it's your altitude. I mean, where you are in the world.
Good one.
If you're at sea level or if you're in the mountains, that mm-hmm. matters dramatically. I mean, just the atmospheric pressure. Mm-hmm. That matters for turbos as well. There's a variety of things that can come into play at this point. Now, it could be installation issues as well. Maybe it wasn't installed right. Maybe it's not matched your engine well. Maybe it's not the one that you should have. Maybe you're trying to overdo it and you're not getting the full benefit out of it, but it's taking more power than it should.
Maybe it's on a Geo Metro, in which case, why did you do that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's one of those things.
Yeah, we shouldn't criticize anybody for wanting to put a supercharger on anything.
Right,
I'd put it on my lawnmower if I could.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Do you have a push mower?
I
You're fooling yourself,
so
buddy.
I do, so I would have to run.
You have a jog mower now.
I would. I'd have a sprint mower.
Dude, before we get too far in, it just occurred to me, and I have to apologize to this guy when we get his name, but this, we had a listener suggest this.
Okay.
And, I am sorry, sir, from the internet. Name escapes me right now, but we're going to get back to you. We didn't forget about you.
No, we'll pick it up later.
We'll figure out
who it was and give you credit later.
A shout out? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I guess we should talk about turbochargers a little bit.
Yes, yes, sir.
Some of the upsides, downsides of those.
More efficient.
More efficient, yeah, that's right. Well, it's arguably more efficient.
It's theoretically
more efficient. Right. Okay, because as we talked about before, it uses the exhaust gas. Now, these things spin an incredible rate of speed. Now, the superchargers, I think they spin around 50 or 60,000 RPMs, something like that, which is really quick.
Correct.
Now, a turbo can spin somewhere in the neighborhood of 150,000 RPMs. That's that little wheel that's compressing the air before it enters your engine. 150,000 RPM. So as you can imagine, that requires some pretty intense bearings and cooling.
Yeah.
So the bearings are really – there's a fluid bearing, which is something kind of that's kind of interesting.
A little different.
It supports the turbine shaft on a thin layer of oil. And, of course, that not only helps reduce friction, but it also cools – the shaft as well, so that this thing's spinning out of control. I mean, that's mm-hmm. ridiculous. That's why you need to cool these things down, which I didn't do. But there's also, and you can get some that have ball bearings. Now, the ball bearing systems are very expensive because they are extremely precise, and they apparently they provide less friction than the fluid bearings even do.
Really?
Yeah, which you wouldn't think.
Wow, that's some high-tech engineering.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't have any idea what the materials are, the cost of them versus a fluid bearing, but I can't imagine the cost. That's got to be a race application.
I'm going to make a totally unfounded prediction and say that those kind of bearings are either coming from Germany, Japan, or Italy.
Really?
I would, you know what, maybe the U.S.
I don't know.
Maybe the U.S.
No, I don't know. I just don't know where the big ball bearing manufacturers are, because you'd be surprised where, you know, some of these little components
True.
Crop up. And
you know what, fair enough.
Yeah.
But I'm saying just as far as track record for high-end automotive or just precision engineering.
You're feeding stereotypes.
Am I feeding? Are they stereotypes?
Yeah, I think you are.
Are you really?
I think so.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
No, anybody,
you know, you may be exactly right, and then I'll have to eat my words. But
I never want you to have to eat your words, man. I'm totally on your team. We'll just forget it ever happened.
Okay. Fair enough.
But okay, so seriously, the physical ball bearings would be better than the fluid ball bearings?
In some situations, yes, because now I'm sure there's some lousy ones out there.
Right.
That happens. You know, someone makes a cheap turbo. We're talking about the extreme high-end, very, very expensive turbos that use these ball bearings versus the fluid bearings. And the fluid bearings are more typical, believe it or not. I mean, it sounds like something kind of exotic, but it's not.
Yeah, it's kind of counterintuitive, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're expensive systems anyways. They're not cheap. Let's see. I guess we can talk about there's a wastegate on a turbo, which the supercharger does not have. Mm-hmm. Wastegate, all it does really is release excess pressure that's built up. So if it's if the turbine blades aren't spinning fast enough and the gas pressure builds up too much, the wastegate pops open. You've probably heard it on a turbo car before. You hear it kind of accelerate away, it whines, and then you hear kind of an exhale almost from it. It's like a psh.
Oh.
Yeah, and you'll hear it between each gear. If they get to the very top end of the revs, you hear that sound. Mm-hmm. That's the wastegate opening up. And that's adjustable on some turbos, and that's kind of an interesting thing that you'll if you pay attention, you'll hear that often in some of the sport import tuner type cars that you'll see on the road.
And for some people, this is going to be like one of those once you've heard it, you can't unhear it things.
Yeah, that's right. Because I hear it all the time now.
Yeah,
I guess I'm paying attention or just listening for it, because once you hear it, you know exactly what it is, and you'll hear it all the time.
I've got one for you.
Sure.
Okay, I don't want to blindside you with this.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. And this is, I asked this as a representative of some interested parties at the office. What's the best thing for someone to put on their car aftermarket?
Really? A bolt-on horsepower adding type accessory? I'm gonna go with supercharger.
You're going to go with supercharger?
I'm going to go with supercharger. Now, I mean, with what we've said here today,
right.
You know, the benefits and the downsides and everything, I'm going to go with supercharger, yeah. Yeah, it's expensive, but it's a bolt-on accessory that you could do this yourself. If you had, you know, basic knowledge, if you're able to do something like this on your – if you feel like you could tackle something like this.
Basics, patience, and some free time.
And I don't even mean – I guess maybe a little bit more than basic. If you feel pretty confident with the tools, I think you should do it. Yeah, that's probably one of the best things. And then from there, you know – intake and then exhaust, of course, is the next thing to kind of free that flow up, you know, past the engine. So I think those two things are probably the best thing you could do. Depends on the engine, though. Like I drive a Honda, and I know that my car benefits greatly from adding air. A lot of air is the best thing for it.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't get enough right now.
Hondas can get some zip when they get enough
air. Yeah, exactly. A lot of air, and of course, free flowing exhaust, and that's one of the biggest modifications that people do usually is intake and exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
But if you add a supercharger to that, you know, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Throw one in the mix.
I mean, do you have a preference on this? Are you going to say like spinning rims or something? Or
I'm going to do
neon
something.
Highlights.
I'm going to do something a little bit different from my usual MO, and I am going to agree with you that I think the upfront cost in the beginning is worth all the headaches you're saving yourself as far as the maintenance goes, as far as installation, all the time you're saving yourself if you're one of those people who would shut down a turbocharger properly.
Mm-hmm.
No offense. But you know what I'm saying is, like, I'm saying that initial cost at the beginning, you can make a very easy argument that it pays you back later on.
You're talking about several thousand dollars.
So right.
It takes a long time, mm-hmm. but if you truly enjoy it, it's worth it to you. If you enjoy the feel of your car performing better, it's definitely worth it.
You know what I want to hear, man? I want to hear some listener opinions on both sides of this debate.
Yeah, sure. Because there's no real right answer. I mean, I guess maybe for each vehicle and each style of driving. Like, if you're going to be at the drag strip, you'd want this. If you're going to be at the autocross event, you're going to want this. And it depends on the car, too. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the driver and what they want. There's no one definitive right answer that, you know, you have to have this or you have to have that. I don't know. It's just pure opinion.
So our first, you heard it here, guys, our first Car Stuff listener mail request is for you guys to let us know which you prefer, turbocharger, supercharger, and why.
Mm-hmm.
Sound reasonable, Scott?
Sounds reasonable. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. As long as the why is there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there has to be some reasoning behind why it would be a good idea.
Don't just put turbocharger, lol.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But, yeah, I think that's a reasonable request. So, oh, you know what? One quick thing before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Combining the two systems together.
Blow my mind, man. Give me the elevator speech.
It's possible, but not very common at all. It's really not common at all. But what it does is if you combine a turbocharger and a supercharger together,
uh-huh.
It's very rare. But I've heard of a couple instances of it. In our article, we mentioned a VW Golf GT. I've also heard of a Skyline GTR that has this, a Nissan. But twin turbo, twin supercharged as well. So
weird.
Extreme amount of power. I mean these cars, no matter what. But what?
Is it more than the sum of its parts then in that?
What do you mean?
Application?
Oh, sure, yeah. Because when you twin turbo, usually twin turbo or quad turbo engines,
mm-hmm.
extremely high output. You can imagine if it's twin supercharged and twin turbocharged, you're getting. It's I don't know about the numbers here because I don't have them in front of me, but incredible gains in horsepower. So the idea is that the turbos feed the supercharger the boosted air. So you're starting with boosted air, and then the boosted air is then force fed into the engine with the superchargers, and then that drives the turbos even faster, and it's just
positive
big
feedback loop.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And now it virtually eliminates any lag as well, because you're starting with two systems, because you get the benefits of the supercharger, which are instant to the
mm-hmm.
engine power,
yeah,
and then the turbo, which is feeding. Again, compressed air to the superchargers, so you can imagine the amount of air and fuel that thing is burning.
Yeah, can you imagine the mileage on that?
I don't think that really comes into it. But what it does is it's just a way to balance this power curve that mm-hmm. You know, you got the I guess disadvantages of each one are kind of negated by the other one.
Nice.
So it's a good system, but it's very costly, I'm sure, and to get everything to work out exactly right, because a turbo setup requires exhaust work. I mean, whereas a supercharger is the bolt-on, just bolt-on accessory, which really helps you. But if you're going to add a turbo to your car, it's a lot more extensive than if you were just to add a supercharger. Now, these we're talking about, of course, they're made at the factory.
Sure.
You know, probably not a factory, but more of a speed shop where this is what they do all day, and, you know, of course they can do it quickly.
Yeah, this is not DIY stuff.
No, exactly. I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure somebody has done it, but it requires a lot of skill.
Right. Okay. You're right. Let's unoffend that listener.
Sure.
Most people.
That one listener, because there might be one.
You, sir, are extraordinary. Yes. Congratulations.
Correct.
And I guess we've done, I don't know, Scott, I think we've done a pretty good job breaking this down.
We've done a job of it.
We've done a job of it. Okay. All right. So what about you guys? Tell us what you think. Send us an email at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
We'll see you next time.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.